Moses, the one who was drawn out of the water, has now called out the Old Testament church, and he brings them through the wilderness. Moses in the Old Testament, in many ways, is what Christ is in the New Testament, in that he is the deliverer. Having delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, in the same spirit, Christ comes to deliver the church out of the Egypt of our sin into the promised land of our destiny and purpose.
This is the Potter's Touch.
Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I am so glad to have the opportunity to share this series with you. I appreciate all the praise reports and testimonies hitting me up on Twitter and Facebook and just letting me know that you are being blessed by this series, The View from the Top. We're going to go deeper in it this time. I've got a message that I think is going to encourage you and strengthen your life. The message is entitled, You Can't Give Me What I've Already Got. This is going to bless you in a supernatural way. Watch this. This Jesus that I want to talk to you about this morning has just come from an explosive celebratory moment, a moment of divine distinction. His clothes are still damp from the rivers of Jordan. Baptized in the river of Jordan. One swoop of God's hand and he has gone from obscurity to notoriety. Baptized in the river Jordan and coming up out of the water, the heavens opened up for him. The Spirit descended like a dove and the Father spoke from heaven, said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Back up, haters. When God endorses you, who can hinder? When God puts his hand on you and establishes you and points you out, that boy right there is my son in whom I am well pleased. No question about his integrity. I'm pleased. I don't care whether you're pleased or not. I'm pleased with him. That's a great moment. The same Spirit that descended on him like a dove, celebrating, authenticating, and validating that he is the Messiah. Same Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil didn't lead him. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil didn't lead him into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit will arrange an attack. You need to know that. I know it's not popular, out of style. They don't teach that today, but you need to know that. They don't teach that today because it doesn't make people shout, but it is true nonetheless. You have to know that to survive it. You have to know it. You have to know that it couldn't have happened to me if God didn't allow it. Y'all don't pray like that. That's like T.D. Jakes kind of praying. Lord, if this happened to me, you had to allow it to happen. My steps are ordered by the Lord. And if I had to walk into this, you ordered it. You led me into it. I talk to him like that because I know that if you led me into this wilderness, somehow it's going to work for my good. Yeah, somehow, it doesn't feel good. See, this is the kind of praying you do with tears running down your face. It doesn't feel good and I don't like it and it hurt me in places I didn't even know I could be hurt. But if you allowed it, it must be for my good. Must be, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It must be for my good. It don't feel good, Lord, but it must be for my good. And then number two, if you led me into it, you will lead me out of it. I know you will, because you're not just Alpha, you're Omega. You're not just the beginning, you're the end. You're not just the first, you're the last. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we may ask or think. God doesn't start anything that he can't finish. You understand that Jesus has just had this amazing experience down at the Jordan River with John the Baptist. You understand that the Jordan River is the place where the children of Israel had to cross over with Joshua to go into the promised land. After years and years of being into the wilderness, the Jordan River is standing in between them and the promises of God. Because I have been to the Jordan, and because I have been in the wilderness, and because I have physically been to Mount Nebo, let me try to illustrate to you what this location is. On one side, it is totally desert, dry, parched, sand in the wind blowing in your face, hot, destitute, barren, and desolate. All the way up to the Jordan, you can taste the dry sands blowing in the air, in your eyes, in your mouth, in your nose, everywhere. It's everywhere, totally dry, nothing green, nothing brilliant, nothing bright. And then you come to the Jordan River. And when you look across the Jordan, everything's green and plush and beautiful, trees and vegetation. Crops going. The Jordan River flows out from the Sea of Galilee, and it's an amazing, almost a tropical atmosphere with opulent beauty, and at one time was filled with all types of fruit and figs and vegetation. Look at the oxymoron between the two extremities geographically in the same location, separated only by the Jordan River. One part is very plush and the other part is very dry. Now Jesus has just been baptized in the Jordan River, and the heavens have opened up for God himself to enunciate and pronounce upon him clearly in front of everybody. There's no question, he's the one. The Spirit has descended on him like a dove. And there he is in the Jordan, betwixt and between plushness and barrenness, greenery and dryness, life and death. Seeming to me, the Spirit would have led him into the figs and the fruit and the grapes. But no, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. I want to preach to wilderness people. It could be that you are in the wilderness by God's design. When I was studying this text, I said, Lord, I've read this text, I've taught this text, I've preached this text, I've done series on this text, but I want to empty out everything I know about this text and come to you empty. Because sometimes when we know too much, it blinds us from the beauty of the text. And when I came to him empty, he said, I want you to look at the location. Remember the location. I said, yes, Lord, I was there. I went, my wife and I went up Mount Nebo to the top of the mountain where Moses had been. And the guide just happened to mention to me, this is Mount Nebo. And he said, right down there in the plain is the wilderness. It's the same area where the chariot caught up Elijah. It's the same place of the wilderness. It's the last stop before you cross the Jordan. Yeah. This is the place where Satan launched his attack on Jesus in the wilderness, right on the other side of Mount Nebo. And there I'm standing on Mount Nebo looking at the wilderness on one side and the greenery on the other. And when I read the text, all of a sudden I recognize that the Spirit has led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now Jesus is about to bring forth. This is the coronation, the release of his ministry to birth the church. He is, I submit to you, the New Testament Moses. Moses brought the Old Testament church. It's where we first get the word ecclesia, ek, ecclesia, called out. Moses, the one who was drawn out of the water, has now called out the Old Testament church, and he brings them through the wilderness. Moses in the Old Testament, in many ways, is what Christ is in the New Testament, in that he is the deliverer. Having delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, in the same spirit, Christ comes to deliver the church out of the Egypt of our sin into the promised land of our destiny and purpose. And now Christ has been led into the wilderness, and suddenly I recognize that God has unfinished business with the devil. Moses has led the children of Israel in the Old Testament all the way up to right on the edge of the Jordan River, got very close to crossing, got to Mount Nebo and saw the other side, didn't go to the other side, but saw to the other side. Moses didn't go, in part because Moses faced a temptation that threw him over. The murmuring of the people tempted Moses with anger and frustration. Murmuring will tempt anybody. When you've done everything you know how to do and people are never satisfied, it will make you have a reaction. When you have given and given and given and given and still they want more and more and more, it'll make a nice man mad. It'll make a quiet man get loud. It'll make a little woman snap if you're just ungratefulness. And out of his frustration, Moses smites the rock when God told him to speak to the rock. And he smites the rock, implying that Christ would be crucified afresh. He now gets judged. And God says, because you used my power to express your frustration. Because you used my power to express your frustration. You used my power to satisfy your fleshly feelings. You'll see it, but you won't go into it. Wow. What does that have to do with Jesus? I'm glad you asked. It's got everything to do with Jesus. As soon as Jesus comes up out of the water, the Spirit says, if you're going to bring the New Testament church into the promises of God, we've got unfinished business with the devil. You've got to pass the tests that Moses flunked. You've got to pass the tests that Moses failed. He led him in the wilderness to be tempted.
Still to come on The Potter's Touch.
You can't give me what's already mine. If I didn't know who I was, I might have to go through this to prove who I was. But I knew who I was before I got in this test. If I was his child in the water, then I'm his child in the wilderness. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What's pulling me down to the mountain when I have an opportunity to go to the top?
If you've ever climbed a mountain, you know that reaching the summit requires perseverance, determination, and struggle. In your journey with Christ, He's often pushing you to a new and sometimes uncomfortable place. But there's always purpose in the pain. And when you reach the destination that He leads you to, the view is worth it.
He's got the key to me, to who I am, to what I am. And I had no chance of unlocking the door to myself without getting to the key. And He took the key and hid it in His garments and started up the hill and told me, you'll never know if you don't chase me.
For helping us reach others, with your gift of any size, you'll receive Secret to Elevation on CD. Or, when your gift is $200 or more, you'll receive View from the Top on DVD, A Grateful Heart Stationery, and The Woman Thou Art Loosed Bible. Reach the destination that was meant for you today.
And the Bible says that after Jesus had fasted 40 days, not during, after the fast is over, he now had the legitimate right to eat. Satan comes and says, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. There we are at the stone again. Only this time the temptation is not to smite the stone, is to use your power to turn the stone. Now think with me, I gotta think in church. Think with me. See, I told you several months ago, your greatest temptation is not what you do with weakness, what you do with failure. The greatest test is how you handle power. Yeah. The great test in your life is how you manage power. See, I don't worry about what you do when you have no power. You got no choice but to lay there. You got no choice but to stay here. You got no choice but to rent here. The less power you have, the less choices you have. But the more power you have, the more options you have. So you can't really be tempted good when you're powerless. The real temptation comes with power. That's why powerless people, if they get ready to do something evil, they'll have to go out and steal some power, a gun, authority, or something, because you can't do wrong right without power. I'm going to break that down again. You can't do wrong right without power. The real test is how do you handle power? How do you handle favor? How do you handle influence? How do you handle having somebody's ear? How do you handle an opportunity? All of that is the real test. I don't have to test you on how you handle not having an opportunity. You don't have no choice but to take it. How do you handle a chance, an opportunity, an influence with somebody? How do you handle favor? How do you handle, Moses, you got this stick. How do you handle having this stick? Will you use it for you or will you use it for God? Jesus, you got this power. How do you handle this power? Will you use it for you or will you use it for the purpose of God? If thou be the Son of God, turn the rock, the stone, and the bread. One of the things about being hungry, it's when you get real hungry, you have a tendency to want to turn things that are not into something that you need. Just because you need it doesn't mean you can make me be it. But when you are hungry and destitute, you will turn people into things they are not. You will turn stones into bread. You will turn godly opportunities into places of manipulation. When you're hungry, you'll pervert a friendship into something that it's not. When you're hungry, see, it's about the hunger. See, it's about the hunger. It's not about the rock. It's about the hunger. It's about the hunger that drives you, the fleshly hunger to use your power to get what you want. So I wanted to ask you this morning, you know, how do you handle power? Yeah. Ooh, it got quiet in here. Is it all about you or is it about us and we? Are you so narrow in your thinking that you can only see it from your perspective because you're getting ready to lead and to live and to die for them, but you can't do it for them when you got a me mentality? Location, location, location. So we're back on the same location in the same situation with one that is greater than Moses being tempted like Moses. As Moses leads out the Old Testament church, Christ now prepares to birth the New Testament church. But the real test of great leadership is how do you handle power? It is not how you handle being broke. 10% of zero is nothing. Yeah, it's how you handle power. It's when you got the edge. What do you do when you finally get the edge and you get the drop on somebody? How do you handle power? So here he comes, and Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the Bible says he took him up to a high pinnacle in a city of a temple and said, cast yourself down off of this pinnacle, for it is written that the angels will bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. In other words, show off. You don't know, show off so everybody can see who you are. Make a name for yourself. Show them who's boss. Climb up to the top of the temple, church, and fall off. Let everybody see how great you are. Jesus says, "What? Wait, devil, why would you get me to throw myself off the temple to show who I am when the Father just said, you never have to prove what you already are. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Don't let nobody put you on the spot to have to prove what you are. When you know who you are, you don't have to do no cheap tricks to validate who you are. I am who I am. I can do what I can do. I can move what I can move, and I don't have to show off for you because I knew who I was when I got here. My daddy fixed that in the river. Slap somebody and say, you can't give me what's already mine. You can't give me what's already mine. You can't give me what's already mine. If I didn't know who I was, I might have to go through this to prove who I was, but I knew who I was before I got in this test. If I was his child in the water, then I'm his child in the wilderness. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Shake somebody's hand and say, I know who I am. I know who I am. The circumstances don't prove who I am. I know who I am. It might not look like I am who I am, but I know who I am. My house might not look like I am who I am, but I know who I am. My situation may not reflect who I am, but I know who I am. I refuse to succumb to embarrassment. I need to impress you. When I understand that how you met me is a temporary circumstance. Just because you met me in the wilderness does not mean I'm lost. I was led into this wilderness. Yeah, you might have met me without a job, but that doesn't make me a bum. Come on, somebody. You can't give me, no. You want to give me something, but you can't give me what's already mine. You can't give me what's already mine. If I didn't know what I got, then you might make a deal with me, but you can't give me what's. And about this bread stuff, don't you know that I am the bread of. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they perished with hunger. But I am the true man. So don't be talking to me about this bread stuff. Brother. Tell somebody and say, you can't give me what's already mine. I am, oh, y'all can't handle this. I am what I'm hungry for. Y'all can't handle that. I am what I'm hungry for. Hey, we'll be right back after this. What's pulling me down to the mountain when I have an opportunity to go to the top?
If you've ever climbed a mountain, you know that reaching the summit requires perseverance, determination, and struggle. In your journey with Christ, He's often pushing you to a new and sometimes uncomfortable place. But there's always purpose in the pain. And when you reach the destination that He leads you to, the view is worth it.
If He's got the key to me, to who I am, to what I am, and I had no chance of unlocking the door to myself without getting to the key. And He took the key and hid it in His garments and started up the hill and told me, you'll never know if you don't chase me.
For helping us reach others with your gift of any size, you'll receive Secret to Elevation on CD. Or when your gift is $200 or more, you'll receive View from the Top on DVD, A Grateful Heart Stationery, and The Woman Thou Art Loosed Bible. Reach the destination that was meant for you today.
This is an opportunity for pastors to hone their tools and skills. Coming from every direction, they are converging in Orlando. This is not a conference for people who are satisfied for the status quo, for people who want to be normal and fit in the clique. This is for the radical, relentless leader who is ready to go where he has never gone before and do what she has never done before. It's a branching out opportunity.
Get up close with T.D. Jakes Ministries at tdjakes.org. Connect with us anywhere, at any time.
If you haven't been hanging out with us on social media, you've been missing it. I'm there for you, ministering, sharing the Word of God, encouraging you, and sometimes answering you. Yes, it's me, personally. Come on over to social media. Hang out with me. I've got something for you that will really bless your life.
Talk to us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Connect with us today.
Alas, I am out of time, but it has been a joy over the past few weeks to share this series with you, A View from the Top. Perhaps it gives you a different perspective of things. Many people say they want it, but they don't know what they're asking for. I pray that God would strengthen your heart and renew your mind and adjust your goals to His divine purpose in your life. It's been a real joy to share this series with you, and I want you to know that as we pray for you, and I assume you pray for us, that no matter what we face, as long as we stay together, we will survive. Take care now. See you.